Today we have from the Gospel of St. Luke the story of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, a story that we find also in Mark and especially in Matthew. But here today we find it in St. Luke's Gospel told slightly differently from the way that Matthew tells it, but nevertheless telling us essentially the same thing, that Jesus goes out into the wilderness, he goes out to prepare, he goes out to become ready again, finally, and preeminently to be and to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the good news of God as the Son of God to a broken and hurting people. He goes out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and for 40 nights and to prepare through prayer and fasting, through a period of special focused attention upon his own spiritual condition as the Son of God. He goes out to prepare, to proclaim the good news and to be the good news, to proclaim the gospel and to become the sacrifice on the cross. For he knew even at the beginning what God's will would eventually be for him. So he went out into that wilderness to prepare, to become ready, to totally depend upon the will of God. And at the end of this period of fasting, at the end of this period of prayer, the scripture has here, both in Matthew and in Luke, what must be one of the greatest understatements of two millennia, at least now. And that's, it says that after this period of time, after these 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, he was famished. He was starving. He was hungry. Have any of you ever fasted? Any at all? A few of you, yes, uh-huh. Have any of you ever been hungry at any time? Raise your hand. Have any of you had to not eat because you're getting ready for a surgery? Raise your hand. Yes. That's getting most of you now. If ever you've been very hungry, you know what happens. You start to feel it rumbling around in your tummy, don't you? It's like little knots and little boulders rumbling around in there, and you can hear them as they growl and grumble at you, and as they bubble at you, and as they cause little cramps and make you want to eat it. Nearly everything looks good. Even after 3 or 4 days, not much 40, but after 3 or 4 days of fasting, steamed okra looks good to me. And that looks awful any other time. Even steamed okra looks good to me after a few days fasting. After 40 days, I wouldn't be surprised if I thought that rocks will look good to me. So here's Jesus out in the wilderness. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, preparing for his ministry, preparing to proclaim the gospel, preparing to be the gospel, to be the sacrifice. And Satan comes to him and hits him initially right off the bat with that temptation that was most immediate, most obvious, and to which, quite frankly, most of us would fall instantly. He says to Jesus, "You see around you a whole bunch of rocks, a whole bunch of stones. You see around you a whole bunch of rocks that aren't very appetizing. But if you really are the Son of God, zap one of those rocks into a loaf of bread and eat it and satiate your hunger. You've got the power, you've got the ability. You are the Son of God, right? Well, if you really are the Son of God, change one of those rocks into bread and eat it." He says, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." The first of the temptations. Now, a couple of questions come to mind as I look at this temptation. Because on its surface, it doesn't look like a temptation. When we speak about temptations, what are temptations? They are enticements. They are allurements. They are things which cause us to want to do something. When I am out eating, let us think of a really good, tempting place to eat. El Mexicano, at that buffet, right up the street. And I go in there and I sit down and we, you know, yes, we want the buffet. And I get up and I go and I'm looking at this row of Mexican food. cheese enchiladas, cheese and onion enchiladas with chili, beef enchiladas, chicken enchiladas, fajitas, rice, beans, chalupas.
I'm making you hungry, aren't I? I'm tempting you, aren't I? I guess I know where y'all gonna go for lunch today, yeah.
I'm tempted by that buffet. I'm tempted by that buffet, and you know what? I leap out at it. Dive into it. One of the funniest scenes from The Nutty Professor Part 2 is when they go to the buffet and they pan the camera down the buffet line after the clumps have gone through and taken their fill of food to eat. And every bin, all the fatty foods, the fried chicken, the fried fish, the roast beef, all the fatty foods, the lasagna, the pizza, the spaghetti, everything is gone. Except the bin with salad in it. It's full. And then all the desserts are gone. The most hilarious scene of that entire movie is that buffet scene. Now, I'm like them. I see that temptation, that food, I dive after it. But for me, who shouldn't be eating that much of that kind of food, it's a temptation to sin against my body, the temple that God has given me. But being a sinner, being the cheapest of sinners, I dive after that food anyway. Jesus in the wilderness fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, was famished, as it says here in Scripture. Satan comes to him at his most vulnerable point, at the most vulnerable portion of any human's life, his stomach. And Satan says to him, if you really are the Son of God, and that's what you've been preparing to be, change that rock into bread and eat it. It's a temptation to sin. Why? I mean, we couldn't take and transform rocks into bread, could we? No. Who here can change a rock into bread? No, no one.
I can change a dollar bill into
bread. I can change a dollar bill into bread too. That's not the point. Jesus was tempted, however, because while we cannot change a rock into bread, it was within Jesus' power to change a stone, to command a stone into a loaf of bread. Therefore, practically speaking, it's a temptation for him. It's a temptation to sin. That's not very comfortable, is it? To say that Jesus in the wilderness was tempted by Satan, Satan came to tempt him to sin. It's not very easy for us to deal with. Especially this first one. Why would it have been a sin for Jesus to change the stone into bread at this point in time? I can think of two reasons. First reason is because it would be violating what Jesus was out there to do. Jesus is out there to prepare, to proclaim, and to be the Son of God for the people of Israel. He was out there to prepare, to proclaim the gospel, and to become the gospel, to become the sacrifice on that cross. He was out there to get ready to be that sacrifice. And to turn away from what he was planning on doing through his fasting and praying, turn away from what he was preparing to do, follow God's will through fasting and prayer, and to satiate his hunger by converting a rock into bread and eating it, would have violated that time of preparation. So to sin that way, it would have been. However, I think most importantly, it's a sin for this reason. It would have been Jesus depending upon himself and upon his power as the Son of God, and not upon the will and word of God. It would have been Jesus doing what he had within his ability to do, convert a rock into bread to fill his hunger. And it would not have been trusting in faith upon the will and the word of God to fulfill his needs, to fulfill his hunger. It would have been doing what he could do. Like, it's a term that we use sometimes. You ever heard the term, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps? It would be doing by his own power and his own ability something to fill his hunger, rather than trusting in the word and the will, the grace, the gift, the power of God. That's where it hits us, friends. That's where this temptation becomes our temptation, and a real temptation. The temptation that we face is to trust not in God, not in the Word of God, not in Jesus Christ, not in the will of God, not in the grace of God, but in our own ability and our own power. To be a self-made person, independent. I don't need anyone to live from day to day. It's that attitude that is being spoken of here. The belief, misplaced belief, that we, by our own ability, by our own power, can make it through this life. Now that is a fiction. It is an illusion. No one makes it through life on their own. No one is born of themselves. You didn't birth yourself, did you? No, you didn't. You didn't conceive yourself, did you? No, you didn't. You didn't educate yourself? No, you really didn't. Even if you learned a lot on your own, there was someone there helping you. Either through a book or through a teacher. No. It's an illusion if you say you're a self-made man. That's an illusion of this world. Jesus is saying here, very clearly, I mean, his response is brilliant. He quotes scripture. It is written, one does not live by bread alone. In Matthew, he completes the quote, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is making it very clear that the temptation that Satan is offering him is to live and satiate his hunger by his ability and his power as the Son of God. And in so doing, he would be abusing and misusing and depending upon his power as the Son of God, and not depending in faith on the will and the grace of God that God has for him. And we have the same sin. We can't change rocks into bread, but we can sure try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and live on our own, independent, apart from the family of faith, apart from our brothers and sisters in Christ, apart from the Word of God, apart from the sacraments, apart from prayer, apart from the hymns, apart from all the means of grace. We can pretend as if we are living apart from God, but that is an illusion. We can't. Sure, we can maybe live a few years. Sure, we can maybe live 30, 40, 50 years apart from the of depending upon the church and depending upon faith and depending upon the Word of God. But that's just the inertia of life, my friends, carrying us forward with the gift that we have in our bodies. The gift of life that God gives us carries with it an inertia that carries it forward for a long period of time. But when we come to the end of our lives, if we don't have God, if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, if we don't have faith in His Word, if we don't have faith in the grace that comes to us through many sources, we can't go on. The inertia of our living will peter out, and we will die. Apart from the will and the power and the grace of God, we cannot survive. That's what Jesus' temptation here teaches us. And his response, and the way he defeated the first temptation, is the way we can defeat it too. Through the grace of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The part that I usually miss when I read this is what it says at the very beginning. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, living with the Spirit of God in our lives, we too, by faith, can overcome this temptation to trust only in ourselves. We too, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can, by faith, overcome the sin of self-reliance and learn to trust in God and through our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Today, as we begin the season of Lent, I invite you to take that slip of paper that was in your bulletin. Ushers, if they don't have one, if you need a slip, wave. We got more slips outside the sanctuary. To take this slip of paper and to write on it that which is causing you to stumble, that sin which is a temptation to you, that desire, that need to trust only in yourself, that refusal to have faith in your brother or sister, that desire to not be the daughter or the son of God that God calls you to be. Whatever that sin may be, one word, two words, a sentence, however much you need, I invite you to write it on this slip of paper. And then we will progress to the back of the sanctuary, outside the doors, one at a time, where this little slip of paper, please don't fold it up too tight because it doesn't burn that well, and you want it to burn up, where we will light it, and it will burn in the glass vase back there. You can watch it burn up, and watch God's grace burn up your sins. I invite you to come back in a moment. I'll ask the choir to come first, and then the rest of the congregation to follow. Bring these temptations, these sins, these stumbling blocks that you have in your life, and let them be burned up by the grace of God, and hear that good news, that in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. This is a time of confession of sin. A time to give up whatever it is that is plaguing you as we enter this season of Lent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.